I would have been living a 15 to life jail sentence. He would have still been in prison. They would have never let him go. That's how much they wanted us. They wanted this thing to be that. Yes.
Finally, we just have 30 seconds. You're in the car now driving. I can't even believe we're talking to you as you sit in the passenger seat. But you're a New York City Council member. You were elected to the New York City Council. And Donald Trump has become a felon, was convicted of well over a dozen felonies. Your thoughts?
You know, here's a person who, if he was black, he would not be able to run for public office. If he looked like me, he wouldn't even be able to vote. But here he is in the highest office of the land, telling people that he is going to allow for immunity for the things that he has done. Really, this is the erasure of what we see as the American justice system. Those things that actually work, we need those things. We need those things to be and to stay a part of the system. We do not need people to run over the justice system and create new ideas and imaginations of what is unfortunate and what is criminal.
We want to thank you so much for being with us. Again, President Trump convicted of 34 felonies. That does it for our show. Yusuf Salam, now a New York City Council member. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our Wake Up the Neighborhood Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 21st. Your contribution goes towards grassroots community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will take place on Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar in Southeast Portland. The meeting will include a state of the station presented by KBOO's Board of Directors, as well as opportunities for members to meet the candidates running in the board election. Final votes will be cast and the results of the election will be announced at the end of the meeting. Again, that's KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election on Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, 1300 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. Ballots and more information can be found at kboo.fm/board24.
I'm Mr. KBOO.fm. Them shoulda know it's accurate. Kabaka Pyramid say, watch your step, you know what I mean?
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio. Today is August 26, 2024. I am Cecil Prescott, and this is, as you know, KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. Again, I am Cecil Prescott, and I am glad to be with you today. Let me remind you, you might have heard a pitch as this program began, that we are in the midst, KBOO, of our fall membership drive. Wake Up the Neighborhood is the theme, and we wake up by participating, by becoming a member of KBOO. So go to our website, click on the donate and contribute, and make sure that people in your community, people in your neighborhood are aware and know about the exciting things about community radio. Dr. Betty Shabazz once wrote, "Wake up. the hour has come to be more responsible. Change this world by starting with yourself. Start with yourself by becoming a member of KBOO community and making sure that independent radio continue. Thank you so much for being a member and for considering how you may help wake up our neighborhood. Again, I'm Cecil Prescott, and after a week off, we have returned to live programming in the morning hour. Last week, as in July, morning programming slot was taken over by the National Conventions of the National Political Party. Last week it was the Democrats, and in July it was the Republicans. Last week, the Democrats nominated Vice President Kamala Harris to be the candidate for president, and Governor Tim Walz to be the candidate for vice president. And those were moments that I'm sure shall continue to live within the minds of many people. I'm interested in hearing people's reflections on the Democratic Convention and your attitude about that. I wanted to begin this program by sharing something that was not allowed to be shared at the Democratic Convention. There was this ongoing struggle leading up to the convention and continuing during the convention for a speaker to speak from the platform to talk about the horrors, the terrible situation in Gaza. During the convention, the parents, during the convention, there was continued negotiation between Harris and the uncommitted delegates to identify a speaker. And those of you who are familiar with political convention may recall the battles that often happen in political convention, especially conventions that are contested and where there are different candidates and they all are trying to get their opportunity not only to speak but to make sure that their supporters are heard. Well, some brave delegates to the Democratic Convention prior to the convention ran in many states as uncommitted at that time, they were uncommitted to President Biden to make sure to try to push the Democratic Party to speak clearly about the horrors that has happened in Gaza. In spite of the negotiations, that did not take place. I refer you for more in-depth reporting of that to programs such as Democracy Now! You can look up the interviews and the discussions they had during the Democratic Convention and articles in periodicals such as Mother's Jones. I think it's somewhat telling that the Democratic Convention this year was held in Chicago. It was a place where was the infamous or famous Democratic Convention in 1968, where protesters outside the convention hall were attacked by police in 1968. There was a rallying cry that went up in 1968. The whole world is watching. The whole world was watching the Democratic Convention last week. but the whole world did not see or hear the voices of those who are suffering in Gaza. They went on back and forth with the negotiation. They were unable to reach an agreement to have a speaker to speak from Gaza to acknowledge the suffering in Gaza, where more than 40,000 people have been killed. The Democrats did not allow anyone to speak. What I think is interesting is to hear the speech that the people wanted people to hear. And they went back and forth. They wanted, you know, maybe a doctor who had been to Gaza to come. Finally, you know, they decided to, well, you know, we have a delegate to the convention who Palestinian, who is an elected official, Georgia state representative. Georgia is a battle state. And so perhaps it might be good to get such a speaker there. Now, I can understand the hesitancy of those in power. They want to control everything, make sure everything is on schedule and that everyone's on point. And you can certainly see that at the Democratic Convention and the Republican Convention as well, in terms of everything is said, in terms of the speeches, how long they speak, when they will have different types of themes throughout the convention. Everything is regimented. And so those who wanted someone to speak about Gaza, they understood the rules. They wanted to follow the principles. And so finally they said, well, let's ask State Representative Ruwa Roman, a Palestinian American and a Democrat who, you know, again, an elected official who was a delegate to the United Democratic Convention speak. She had been, is a vocal and prominent activist for the uncommitted slate and group, but she was not allowed to speak. Let me read for you the text. And again, the text was vetted. They presented the text to the authorities or whoever in the Democratic Party, Vice President Harris' team and all, to see if they could speak. They were not allowed to speak. But here is the text, what she would have said at the Democratic Convention. My name is Ruwa Roman, and I'm honored to be the first Palestinian elected to the public office in the great state of Georgia and the first Palestinian to ever speak at the Democratic National Convention. My story begins in a small village near Jerusalem called Suba, where my dad's family is from. My mom's roots trace back to Al-Khalil or Hebron. My parents, born in Jordan, brought us to Georgia when I was 8, where I now live with my wonderful husband and our sweet pets. Growing up, my grandfather and I shared a special bond. He was my partner in mischief, whether it was sneaking me sweets from the bodega or slipping a $20 bill into my pocket with that familiar wink and smile. He was my rock, but he passed away a few years ago, never seeing Suba or any part of Palestine again. Not a day goes by that I don't miss him. This past year has been especially hard, as we've been moral witnesses to the massacres in Gaza. I thought of him, wondering if this was a pain he knew too well. When we watched Palestinians displayed from one end of the Gaza Strip to the other. I wanted to ask him how he found the strength to walk all those miles decades ago and leave everything behind. But in this pain, I've also witnessed something profound, a beautiful multi-faith, multi-racial, and multi-generational coalition rising from despair within our Democratic Party. For 320 days, we've stood together, demanding to enforce our laws on friends and foes alike, to reach a ceasefire, end the killing of Palestinians, free all the Israeli and Palestinian hostages, and to begin the difficult work of building a path to collective peace and safety. That's why we are here. Members of this Democratic Party committed to equal rights and dignity for all. What we do here echoes around the world. They'll say this is how it's always been, that nothing can change. But remember Fannie Lou Hamer? Shunned for her courage, yet she paved the way for an integrated Democratic Party. Her legacy lives on, and it's her example we follow. But we can't do it alone. This historic moment is full of promise, but only if we stand together. Our party's greatest strength has always been our ability to unite. Some sees that as a weakness, but it's time we flex that strength. Let's commit to each other to electing Vice President Harris and defeating Donald Trump, who used my identity as a Palestinian as a slur. Let's fight for the policies long overdue, for restoring access to abortions, to ensuring a living wage, to demanding an end to reckless war and a ceasefire in Gaza. To those who doubt us, to the cynics and the naysayers, I say, yes, we can. Yes, we can be a Democratic Party that prioritizes funding our schools and hospitals, not for endless wars, that fights for an America that belongs to all of us, black, brown, and white, Jews and Palestinians, all of us, like my grandfather taught me, together. That was the speech by Representative Roman that she was not allowed to give at the Democratic Convention. And so as we move forward, and maybe 70 days left to the November elections, I suppose many people were enthused by the nomination and of the vice president, and are encouraged by the possibility. Where a little bit more than a month ago, we were walking. People walked around like the Walking Dead in many places. Now there seems to be a lightness, a lift to their step. But as Representative Roman reminds us, there's still so much work to be done. And like Fannie Lou Hamer 60 years ago at the Democratic Conventions, there were people who wanted to speak but were not allowed to speak. People who are committed to the Democratic ticket and to the Democratic Party's cause, but were not allowed to speak. But like Fannie Lou Hamer, they are determined. So what are your thoughts about the Democratic conventions? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Are you enthused or not? Were there things you wanted to heard and did not hear? Things you heard? I'm open to your thoughts. And before I go to our next caller, also want to acknowledge that there were many speakers at the Democratic Convention. And also among the speakers were parents of a hostage, and they spoke movingly. But we must let all the voices of the sufferings be heard. Well, let's go to our caller. Robbie, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. I'm actually really good. It's nice to hear you. Your voice is nice to hear the topic of conversation, because there should be a lot of discussion around it, around the convention. I think the Democrats do really good at making this word salad, as I've heard it described before, and talking about all these really great things. But then when the promise comes, you know, when it comes time to do those actions, the Democrats time and time let down, you know, I guess either progressives or the nation in general. I think it's just, it's incredible that they didn't even let that neutral speech come to the platform. I think that's really tall. That's telling of what the Democrats, you know, I don't mean like the Democrat people who identify as Democrats, the Democratic elite.
The elite, the establishment,
which pushed in Kamala Harris after she had to drop out of a campaign for running for presidency because she was polling so low. But now with absolutely no primary, which a lot of people were trying to challenge Biden because they could kind of see that, you know, he might not fare off well and maybe we should have democracy in the Democratic Party. They usher in Kamala Harris. And, you know, and now there's all this Kamala Harris talk on the media, which is all hyped through the media. They're calling her brat for some reason. I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
I mean, that's like they're using that as their campaign, aren't they?
No. It's a cultural reference, but, you know,
I don't understand it.
Appealing to Gen Z. But that's another. I'm getting beyond the point. Let me allow you to finish, Robbie.
Yeah, sorry. I guess I just don't even understand where it comes from, but they're just like, I don't know. I mean, that's what we've deduced American politics to. We're no longer looking at the substance. You know, words are meaningless until validated by action. And I want everybody to really hear and understand this, that the ceasefire option that the Biden administration was trying to do a couple, you know, I don't know, a month ago or so now, that ceasefire is a ceasefire until the hostages are released. And then they continue doing what they're doing. But the thing is that the ceasefire language I have such a hard problem with because, as I just said, it's not going to, you know, help the Palestinians. But second of all, the administration that Kamala Harris is a part of right now and says she's working for a ceasefire, she is the fire. They are literally fast-tracking $20 billion in arms, you know, a week ago, because he's a lame duck president and can get away with it. And they're saying they want a ceasefire while fast tracking weapons, bypassing Congress. How is that? Does this make any sense to anybody who's paying attention? Or are we all going to be completely bamboozled by the DNC's wonderful word salad that makes us all feel so great and all this?
Let me ask you, you asked the question. What do you think? How do you think people should respond?
Respond to what?
You asked the question.
Genocide?
Well, yes. How you laid out what's happening? I'm asking you. What should people do?
People now should say they are uncommitted until Kamala Harris stops arms. What is it? The embargo's arms to Israel.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Well, hang on, I got more. So
well, there's other people who also want to speak. So you've spoken for four and a half minutes, but I'm just allowing you to speak. Go ahead.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. Anybody who thinks Kamala Harris is going to be anything different has been bamboozled. She hasn't put anything out on her website about her stance or policies. And, you know, I mean, if you look at her history as a DA, it's absolutely awful. She's covered the tracks of police who've raped underage girls. Trulove is an individual. So I don't see how.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Robbie. And I appreciate people calling, but let's try to have a conversation and, well, let's continue on. Let's continue on with our next caller, Lenita. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How are you and how are all your listeners doing this morning? I just wanted to say I'm still kind of high off of the Democratic National Convention. It was interesting to me to see how so-called leftists and progressives are reclaiming patriotism. Mm. When I compare and contrast Democratic National Convention versus the Republican National Convention, the mood was different. The people there at the Democratic National Convention they were happy. I think there is something for joy. We have been joyless for so long, and to see that being embraced is truly amazing. Now, I strongly disagree with your first caller that if you want to not vote for Vice President Harris and Governor Walz, that's a vote for Trump. And we all know what path that's going to do. And I'm always reminded by what former President Obama said about progressives and Democrats. We do that circular firing squad where if you don't believe everything that I believe, then F you. And I think at this point in our political maturity, we need to transcend that. We are not going to agree on everything. And I think you're right, Cecil, that I wish they had let that one speaker speak. But for whatever reason, they did not.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I'm going to torpedo my vote by not voting.
Right.
Anytime you don't vote in this election, it's a vote for Trump. And you know, you got that 2025 agenda, and we all know locking up kids in cages just so you can be right on one issue. Hmm. So I hope that we as progressives and so-called leftists have matured in our political understanding that this might not be the right time to take a my way or the highway stance when it comes to voting. But I'm happy. I'm still happy.
Okay.
It was a joyous occasion. You couldn't help but smile.
Well, I hope you continue to smile and that joy lasts. Let me just come back to a point you raised initially when you talk about the Democrats' embrace of the flag. It was all like, oh, and this nationalism. I'm an old lefty, you know. Is that okay? I don't know. Maybe they're offering an alternative to this Christian nationalism, but all this red, white, and blue, it's different. Yeah.
It was full of red, white, and blue. In the very last scene after her speech when the balloons came down. Now, I was fortunate enough as a journalist to attend two Democratic National Conventions during the campaign of Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, to see that again. And you can see the difference. I was talking to my daughter, and we're a bunch of video nerds. They had to have a lighting director all the time, on every minute of the time they were broadcasting. The broadcast lighting and audio was fabulous. It was almost flawless.
Right.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful to see. And you compare that to the Republican National Convention. But let me get back to your point about red, white, and blue. For years, the red, white, and blue, to me, always meant the Ku Klux Klan, because the Ku Klux Klan claimed that flag. Mm-hmm. What the Democratic National Convention taught me is that they don't get to claim the flag. That flag is built on the blood of my ancestors and the blood of your ancestors. I remember a time when black folks would put the flag out, especially during Flag Day. I think that's sometime in June. Mm-hmm. You don't see that anymore. And because racists and Trumpies have wrapped themselves around the flag, it's nice to have other folks say, no, you cannot claim this flag because my ancestors built this country. My ancestors' blood is on this flag. My relatives fought in World War One, Two, and every military conflict that this country called their citizens to respond to, be it voluntary or involuntary.
Yes, yes.
So you, it was nice to see other people beside the Ku Klux Klan and other folks like that claim that red, white, and blue. And that's what impressed me about the convention, that we can claim this patriotism without being crazy nationalists. And I think that was your point about that whole nationalism thing.
Well, thank you. You reminded me when I was younger, it was my job on Flag Day and holidays, Memorial Days, to go to the roof of our home and put up the flag. And that's something I hadn't thought about or considered doing in recent decades. But thank you so much.
And a lot of people haven't, because of how the flag has been co-opted and misrepresented. But we have a right to that flag. You know, we have a right to claim our patriotism because of what we put in it. And I think speaking out against injustice is just as patriotic as anything you could do.
Okay.
Even having a difference of opinion with that gentleman that called earlier, to me, that's very patriotic. Mm-hmm. You dig what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
So I'm glad that it made people remember. Like, I remember my grandmother putting up the flag. You remember putting up the flag as a kid?
Yes.
That convention taught us that we can reclaim this. And again, in summary, if you decide, because Vice President Harris is not following you and everything that you want, you're not going to vote for her, well, then you might as well go vote for Trump. Because if you don't vote for her, our choices are very binary, right?
Hmm.
It's either this way or that way. It's either this or that.
Okay, I'm going to start singing a song, but I better
know,
let you go. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lenita, and thank you for your thoughts.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. We're having some reflections about the Democratic Convention. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. That was Lenita, who was grateful that the progressives are reclaiming the flag. What are some of your thoughts? Let's hear what Linda has to say. Good morning, Linda. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning, Cecil and listeners. I'm calling from the Salem area, Marion County. I used to live up your way. And I really appreciate the previous caller's stance on things. And I just want to paint a little picture for the listeners. I've been involved in, being an activist for about 30 years. I was in Occupy. I have been a Democratic Socialist. I have been... I stood up in the San Francisco Bay Area against the Vietnam War. So I go back a ways, and my teeth are a little long. So where I am today with this convention is we were in a collective depression for about 10 years, including a little bit of Biden stuff with this Palestinian thing on Gaza. I cry every day over this. But we have to pull that lens back further and no, democracy is on the ballot against fascism, and we have to hold our nose, all of our noses, and vote. And this time we're offered up Kamala and Tim. And what I am suggesting to listeners is to after November 5th, on November 6th, get engaged in your community in some way to get us together, because that's what it's going to take, just like it has in our history. When I'm working on campaigns, I am actually using my personal time to go to town halls and meet these candidates that are on my ballot. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this for 20 or 30 years.
Yes.
I meet the darn candidates so I have a face and a platform when I am marking my ballot. And I don't expect everybody to do that. But there are some people out that are working very, very hard. They go to every event, and we call it tabling, so we can get the youth and the people that have moved to the state to register to vote, because they just don't know how to connect the dots yet. So we do a lot of, you know, outreach.
Education,
stuff.
Yes.
In the name of democracy, and there's a bunch of us, and we come together as socialists. We come together as not even wanting to vote. We come together as dedicated Democrats that maybe drank some Kool-Aid along the way. But nevertheless, this isn't the election to divide us. This is the election, like I said, democracy and fascism. But just know and visualize people in the community that are calling into KBOO and listen to KBOO that are very, very frustrated. But we do the walk. I knock on doors. I meet my neighbors, and we have conversations. And I just say, please, can I count on you to get your ballot in? And they say yes. And that increases our chances of keeping our democracy. So I wish people could find a positive way to help us rather than this stuff that we do on the radio in our houses.
I appreciate so much what you are saying to us this morning by reminding us, and you share a little bit about your biography and your background, and also reminding us how much work we have to do. And it's ongoing. And your example of trying to encourage people to participate and go into forums, it's something that is a good reminder. It isn't free. We have to work for it, and we have to continue.
Yeah, and it's true.
Thank you for your inspiration and your reminder.
So. Can I say one thing about the Palestinians that weren't allowed to speak at the convention?
Yes, yes, please.
I was really sitting in my house, activist that I am, very, very frustrated that they couldn't give them 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I really did. I did not understand why they couldn't give them 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But it seems when I rewound the tape, everybody was going over because of that enthusiasm. And I just don't think it was able to be put on the agenda, number one and number two. And I don't agree. I don't agree, but there we go. I'm sitting at home being this activist, and I'm going, why couldn't they speak? Let them speak. Give them 10 minutes. It's important. And also, 40,000 people are dead, and it kills me every day.
Yes.
It is a genocide.
It is.
But I think they were just trying to stay positive and keep us on the upbeat.
Well, you can continue to keep us on the upbeat, but you also need to allow people to hear the truth and say this is what we need to do to solve it. And you know, it was very moving to hear the parents of the hostages speak. One hostage speak, and this you know, short statement that I read from this delegate was
exactly.
Also moving, and I think just to allow different voices would have been.
I so agree. And if I was on the committee to manage the agenda, believe me, I would have stood up and fought
okay.
for that as loud as we are now. It's a mistake.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for your activism, and thank you for continuing to urge people to be involved in their community.
That's what it's going to take, just like 100 years ago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cecil, and have a good week.
You as well. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Slow down, Cecil. K KBOO, 503-231-8187. And we'll hear from Janet. Good morning, Janet. Thank you for waiting.
Hey there. Good morning.
How are you this day? What's happening in your world?
Well, I think it's extraordinarily depressing. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, that we're all kind of going back to this designer Kool-Aid situation, where when I was teaching interpersonal communication, there was something brought up called micro-leakage, which is like people are minimizing and wanting to go back to the old days where the being a liberal and being a lefty was a humanistic type of thing. However, now it's kind of being very unfortunate to see what we've got going now is the designer Kool-Aid, big glitter, perfectly propagandized diminishing of the micro-leakage fact that we have come to be genocide apologists, that people are trying to pretend liberalism when they're actually just sweeping the most important, critically horrific thing that's in front of our eyes. And just to bring up the point about what happened to Dennis Kucinich was so wonderful when he was running for president, and how he was gerrymandered out of office in Ohio. And then he would come to the realization regarding what was going on with RFK Jr. And now I think that the most hopeful thing for me is that I can listen to Dennis Kucinich, having to been recognizing, well, I guess I better be an independent and speak to some of the important things about humanity and free speech and justice. That too many of the, think about the longitudinal study about what was being a liberal, what was being a Democrat, and what was being hopeful and loving about humanity and the equality of people and speaking out. It's really been squandered. And then to be thinking that Kamala, people want to say how beautiful she is, that my granddaughter is having a baby and she's of the same color, but I'm thinking hopefully of not the same mind to be buying in and finagling with the Israel lobbies and billions of dollars, be saying on the one hand, oh, we're so humanistic and let's save this humanistic, wonderful, lefty, liberal tradition. And then on the other hand, at the same moment, in reality, still bombing every day, every minute, every hour, babies torn apart.
Well, let me ask, let me ask you, since you raised those points, and knowing some of your history that you have shared in the past, what this Democratic Party reminds me of, and going back, I would say even Clinton and Obama, is that they and Vice President Harris, is that they are very traditional pro-war liberal Democrats, and just as in 68, where you had people protesting that war machine that continues today, and the war machine continued to control the Republican and Democratic parties, and it continues to be a struggle, I think.
Yeah, you exactly hit the head on the nail, and it goes way, way, way even so deeper to be recognizing globally the war machine locally and people propagandizing, let's go bomb Iran and how horrific China and Russia are, and thinking people have got things all ratcheted up to like identity politics with well, Saddam is gone and what we did in Syria and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all over the planet, to the point where it's very difficult to have a normal conversation with another person that's not all kind of ratcheted up, where people are not able to identify what is a good mission, that the mentor-disciple relationship that we have been thinking about at least Johnson said, okay, I messed up, I'm out of here, and we were able to move things with in 68. So finally the Vietnam War was over.
Well,
and I'm thinking no end in sight here with this situation in Israel.
Well, it doesn't appear to be, but you know, also going back, remember 68, you know, Johnson pulled out and Richard Nixon was elected. The war continued for a number of years, even through 72, when we finally had a peace candidate on a major party ticket. But he was overwhelmingly defeated by Richard Nixon in 72, and we can go from there. But it depends on people like you, like all of us, to continue just grinding away and making sure that they hear us. So,
really, it's so wonderful because you're astute and you're we're having a really genuine dialogue with each other. And I think more of that in our neighborhoods, because I got some Trump neighbors here, and they're starting to recognize this is an election year. We better hang with our neighbors and make just local things kind of work, where we don't start. The whole point of the military-industrial complex is make us so confused and lost and agonizingly polarized with each other that we can have a rational conversation and right. Figure out ways to bulwark the foundation of how people should treat each other, which I would be thinking, go back to what I had brought up about Hannah Arendt and Carl Jaspers and the categorical imperative being that we can recognize and have a vast-hearted response using subjectivity and objectivity to be thinking, what difference can we make in the moment?
Right.
Because I could get so worked up that I can really go off on my brother, people, and the neighbors, and I got to be thinking, I have to have enough wisdom, insight, and have the courage to recognize that to be compassionate sometimes is to have patience and tolerance. And I really appreciate the breadth of your understanding to not just like want to tell people that call and go, shut up.
well, thank you. And as I let you go, I want you must be some sort of clairvoyant or not, because I have on my 2004 Dennis Kucinich for President shirt. So
thank
you so much for that. Okay, well, you have a great day. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Some thoughts about the Democratic Convention and, I don't know, your favorite fruit. I don't know. Let's hear what our next caller has to say. Let's hear. Ruth, good morning, and thank you for waiting. You've been very patient.
Good morning to you and all the listeners and the people that called in. Whoever sits in the Oval Office unfortunately has to answer to the Pentagon and Wall Street, because otherwise we're becoming what Eisenhower warned us against, becoming the industrial military complex.
Yeah.
When Eisenhower left office.
Yes.
And every few months, I call Wyden, Merkley, Bonamici, thank them for their service, but say, stop the weaponry to Ukraine, to Israel. Otherwise, Israel, you know, they're still running the show. It is genocide. James Baldwin, you know, make America great yet. So we have to not rest, not just vote for Harris, but to say, look, we don't want to be the bully of the world. That's not peace. Thank you. I love KBOO. I've been a member since 98.
Wow, thank you.
Unfortunately, I'm on Medicaid now and can't donate. But
all right.
I'm hoping some people will.
That's right. Hey, this is a community, and you know, you've been a supporter for all these years. You did what you could, and now it's an opportunity for other people to do what they can. So I appreciate you and all that you do, and for just reminding us of the work we have to continue to do to make a better world.
If I could,
yes,
add
go
one
ahead.
Other thing. At the beginning of COVID, there was a local panel of three clergy, and one was a rabbi, and I forgot religion the minister, and Cecil, you were on that panel, and I thought, that's my Cecil. That's our, because Cable's okay. Community.
Right.
Thank you for everything.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm glad you remember who that minister was, because I'd say, I have no idea what she's talking about, but if I was on the panel, it must have been me. Thank you. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We've been having conversation with a number of people who call. I started writing down names, and I stopped, and so I won't begin naming names because I'll leave someone out. But all of the callers have had interesting and insightful perspectives on the political campaign this political season, and what your thoughts are. You know, some callers were energized by the Democratic Convention, and some callers were not. All of our callers so far had things to say about the Democratic Party and its ability to be an instrument for justice and peace. Is it possible, as our last caller reminded us, for the political party, especially those in power, to escape the grasp of the military-industrial complex? As a former president and former general in the United States, general during World War II, warned us against Dwight Eisenhower. Lots of work to do, lots of things to continue to do. Let's hear what some of you have to say, and I think Edie has some words to share. Good morning, Edie.
Good morning, Cecil.
What are some of your thoughts? I'm anxious to hear.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wish that my honest answer to your question was different, because I wish the circumstances were different. I cannot vote for someone that is promoting genocide, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, mass serial murder, Trump, nor Harris. I cannot vote for someone that is increasing militarized policing and surveillance and police prison industrial complex. I cannot vote for someone who is promoting the violation of international law and the militarization of our southern border and the racist, cruel, criminal treatment of asylum seekers, many of whom are trying to escape the very conditions that U.S. policy put into place. I cannot vote for
Could you stop could you stop moving around? We're hearing a lot of, it sounds like paper or something, so it's difficult to hear you. So yeah, continue.
I don't know where that sound is coming from. There's no paper around me. I cannot vote for anyone who is giving money to the fossil fuel industry to attack a climate and attacking climate protesters, children, etc. I cannot vote for those that are wealthy criminals accountable, their fair share of taxes. I cannot vote for those who brag and laugh about putting more blacks into prison and increasing rates of prosecution. I cannot vote for those who are racist.
I'm waiting for a connection, a but and or. I know you cannot vote. What can you do? What are you doing?
Because Harris and
no, I'm asking not why you. I think we understand okay. why you can't vote. What are you doing? What do you urge people to do?
Because Harris and Trump are that way. I'm going to be voting for Dr. Cornel West,
okay.
and I'm going to continue lobbying folks so they don't reward the genocide and the exploitation of terrorized women, worried about their reproductive rights being violated, and doctors and family members and trans. I'm going to do all I can so that this doesn't keep getting worse year after year after year. Everyone that I talk to who spends much time talking about politics vehemently opposes Trump, and they're heartbroken and oppose Harris.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for your call. And that was Edie. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO FM, hearing a variety of opinions on the elections and on the political parties. Last caller, Edie, laid out the reason why they are opposed to the major political party candidates and what they feel that they are going to do on voting for a third-party candidate. And then you had others who called who were enthused by the Democratic candidate and was all in. So here in this mixture of this morning, we've heard a variety of peoples and opinions. And one thing I would like to share, remind folks, is a remark that one of our callers said, in that she thought it was so important to speak to your neighbors, not only those who you agree with, who agree with you, let me put it that way, who agree with you, but those who don't. And we need to reach out and have those difficult conversations with our neighbors, our friends, our families, our spouses, and people who see things, respond to the world in a different way than we do. And as one of the callers said, we must do it with an ability to recognize the humanity in the other person, that none of us has the ability to be all wise. And perhaps as one of our callers reminded us, this isn't a word that they use, but this is how I interpret it, how can we live in a world, how can we live so that the perfect is not the enemy of what is possible? Certainly we cannot create the perfect world. Well, what can we do? And certainly we won't reach, and you can, however you want to fill it in, language of perfection. But we have to continue to strive for it. Now, however you feel that can be done, we will do it. And I'm just talking on like a preacher and ignoring the clock. And let me look at my engineer. We have plenty of time. Okay. So if someone would like to call, we have a minute or two to share some insight about your reflections about the past elections, the past conventions, the Republican and the Democratic conventions. Okay. And, you know, just there've been a lot of different memes around these conventions. And I think our first caller shared with us, he didn't know what this brat thing was, you know, Kamala was his brat. And, you know, all these cultural references that we all need to become aware of. But I think an important point is that we all need to be involved in ways wherever we can, however we can. Thank you for listening. I'm Cecil Prescott. I will be with you next week. And until then, stay well and stay connected.
Sylvester the Boogie Cat, meow, meow. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our